You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito. Thank you for taking 15 minutes of your Tuesday. God bless you. For those of you tuned in at 7 in the morning or 11:45 on WWBC and the three subsequent FM stations, and those of you on at 8:45 at night, God bless you. I thank you. Thank you for tuning in here to this program today, because you want to hear a word from God today, and I know you won't be disappointed, because that's what we focus on. I know the secret, and I share it with you. God is always broadcasting, and I promise you He's got a word for you today, because we're going to His Word, and may the Lord God speak to you today a special word from His Word, right from His Word to your heart here today. We're in the middle of the last sermon I preached in the book of Acts. I've called it Acts, the rest of the story. And we're eavesdropping in right in the middle of Paul preaching before, I believe it was King Agrippa, is where we're going to pick it up here. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, convicted him immediately, and Felix as well, I believe, Felix and Agrippa and Drusilla, of righteousness and self-control and of the coming judgment. And those three, that's the big three, as I like to call it. The big three that unbelievers don't want to hear. Righteousness, that is, you're not right with God. Self-control, like a bull in a china shop, full of tempered glass. And the coming judgment. That's where we're at here. This is the next part of this message, Acts, the rest of the story.
Peter floors us with this text. Not only is judgment coming, it's starting here in the house of God. Okay. Chapter 25. We're up to chapter 25. Paul and Porcius Festus, known by his friends as Uncle Festus. Verse 6. Now when he had remained among them for more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the bema seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. And when he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem, they stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I offended in anything at all." But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?" All right. Now Paul knew there was a plot to kill him by an ambush on that road, because his nephew had got into just some of the portions here we didn't look at. His nephew heard about it, got into the jail and told Paul about it. And this is one of the reasons why. Also because God told him he had to go to Rome is the biggest reason why. But that's why he said what he said here. Paul answered and said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I've done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I don't object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, he says, you have appealed to Caesar? Then to Caesar you will go. And Caesar is where? Where is his throne? Rome. Here we go. Off to Rome now. Wrapping up this letter. Chapter 26. Acts 26, verse 1. Now he's in front of King Agrippa. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you're permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I will answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought so incredible by you people that God raises the dead? Do you see the issue here? This one thing was the problem and the issue. Of everything that he said and did, this is it. And what a stupid thing to argue over. The resurrection? I could see you might want to argue over dietary laws or circumcision or keeping the Sabbath. But the problem was with the resurrection. Again, back then, this was a huge issue, an item of dissension for the Jews. The resurrection, remember, the ruling authorities, half the ruling authorities, the Sadducees, didn't even believe in the resurrection. Verse 9, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue. And I compelled them to blaspheme. Actually, that verb there for compelled is in the imperfect tense, meaning it's an ongoing, everyday thing. I was compelling them to blaspheme. Imagine that. And I'm being exceedingly enraged against them. I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Shocking, isn't it? And as the Holy Spirit shown us almost each and every week here on Sundays, that this is how you and I look without faith. This is a snapshot of what we look. This is what we look out. This is what we look like without the grace of God. It's ugly. Ugly. This is your life. Sounds like a TV show. Please don't put that into syndication. You know, the devil's already syndicated, this is my life. I think it runs every night in my head. Actually, it's this was your life. Praise God when I show him the new version of that, then he scatters. That was my life before he came into my life. It's not this is your life, devil. It's this was my life. And then Jesus crowned you over the head with this. And now you're gone. Because now he is my life. That was my life. And this is a look. This is how you and I look like when you look in the mirror without faith. And faith is a gift. It's a gift from God. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. And that is the gift of God. Not of works. You haven't worked for it. God's given it to you for a gift. It's grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like Bill. I mean, like me. We'll stop and hit these big points this morning. Are you grateful for the grace of God? Are you grateful for how you look in the mirror now? You better be. Because the Bible says you're being transformed into that image from glory to glory. God takes you and makes you look more and more like Jesus Christ every day. That's what he saved you for. Must I? Where is that? Romans 8:30, isn't it? This is unscripted, friends. At least the best parts are. We know that all things work together, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God marked you out in advance so that you would look like him and act like him. Paul's cry was that he'd be found in him. And you won't find him terrorizing and burning down the countryside either. That was last week's sermon. That's not where you're going to find him. Burning this country down. That's where you'll find the sons of disobedience. Do you hear me? You write that down. That's where you'll find the devil's children. Burning down this town. The sons of disobedience. And the mystery, there's one on our list for Wednesday night. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Where will you find them? Burning the country down. Burning the country down. Where do you find the children of God? He says, those that don't gather with me, scatter. He's gathering souls. Let's you and I be about his work. Right? Read again Matthew 5:43 around there, like we looked at last week. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. I'm in the Word of God, Gospel of Mark, Chapter 5, verse 44. Love your enemies, bless those that curse you, and do good to those that hate you. Pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you. And then he tells you why. So that you may be sons of your Father up in heaven.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I did not make it.
Brevard's home for the very best in